Hello, everyone. This is Steve Baker. It's time for another 5 and 10. Now, before I get started, please don't forget to like this video and follow my Rumble channel or follow and like wherever you're listening to this podcast for all the reasons everyone always says. Those likes, those follows, and of course, those 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts really do help. Okay, here we go. Number one, Ray Epps is now suing Fox News for defamation. Look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Just let me say this. There is no smoking gun yet, no proof that Epps was a federal asset of any agency on January 6th. But there are questions that the mainstream media still refuses to ask. We've all seen the videos of him encouraging people to go inside the Capitol. We've seen him whisper into Ryan Samsel's ear, and then 2 seconds later, the very first barricade breach and the first assault on law enforcement officers began. What the mainstream media continues to evade are the questions of, first of all, why was he at the barricade breach when he claimed to be in D.C. to support the president? I mean, who at that very moment was still on the stage a mile and a half away making his speech? Also, why was Epps at the very tip of the second police line breach, which again, the MSM never talks about? Then, why was Epps not charged with passing that large metal bracketed sign into the police line, which they claim was being used as a weapon, when others were charged with felonies for just simply touching it? Epps, too, handled that sign. And finally, who were those 8 men who escorted Epps out of that massive crowd, 4 in front of him, 4 behind him, as they snaked their way through that huge throng? This, when Epps had already testified under oath in Congress that he was only in D.C. with his son and his son's friend. Who were those 8 men? Again, something the mainstream media never mentions. Number two, remember hashtag Pink Beret, the de facto female version of Ray Epps on January 6th? Well, now her husband has been charged with a felony for being on that same front line helping push that first barricade over on January 6th. Now, I've covered this story extensively, so please look it up on my locals page and get all the details there. But in short, I recently reported on the fact that Pink Beret and her now husband, who was her boyfriend on January 6th, are now living in Thailand and have had a child over there. And despite her 4 misdemeanor charges, there seems no interest from the Department of Justice to have her extradited to face those charges. But now that her husband has been charged with felony violence against law enforcement officers, will they now go after him? Thailand does have an extradition treaty with the United States, which I've read in its entirety, and the only exclusion I see is that they will not grant extradition in capital offense cases. In other words, those in which the defendant could possibly face the death penalty. I'll keep you posted as this story develops. Number three, the climate change disinformation continues apace. The BBC claims that a recently recorded 48.8 degrees Celsius temperature is the hottest ever temperature recorded in Europe. Now, this is even though in 1935, the New York Times had reported then a temperature of 52.8 degrees in Spain. Now, that's 127 degrees Fahrenheit. Believe it or not, we had very accurate thermometers in 1935. Look, Einstein published his theory of relativity in 1905. Science, physics, and temperature measurements were rather advanced by 1935. What's even more advanced today is the mainstream media's intent to lie to us about the climate change narrative. Number four, I kept a scorecard on the 6 GOP candidates' appearance in that event in Iowa on Friday. In brief, it was a wonderful brain break for me. And in terms of coverage and on-air performances, not including the candidates, I'll get to that in a minute, Blaze Media and their team served up not just a flawless online stream, which is no small feat, but their commentators and analysts were sharp, informed, eloquent, and above all, not partisanly patronizing of those Republican candidates. They called balls and strikes accurately, and when necessary, they declared national disasters for 2 of those candidates' appearances. Tucker, actually, he did nothing but secure his position as what I would refer to as the heir apparent to Rush Limbaugh's golden EIB microphone, and he's now probably the most influential voice on the right side of our nation's political divide since Rush's untimely demise. Now, I say that as a political observer, not as a conservative. It's just simply, it is what it is, whether or not you like or hate Rush or Tucker. I watched the event to grade each performance based on three simple categories. The first one was their likability and connection with the audience, the political content of their stated positions, and the believability of their answers. So here were my final scores. I gave Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina a C. I gave former governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, an F-. And then there was an equally disastrous performance by former Vice President Mike Pence, and I gave him an F. Nikki Haley, I gave her a B. Vivek Ramaswamy, an A. And Ron DeSantis, an A. Now, do you want to know what I really think about each of these candidates without those self-imposed limitations that I put on myself? Well, I'll just say this. Stay tuned. We've got a long way to go before the election. I'll have plenty to say later. Number five. Yesterday, I finally had the opportunity to see the movie that has caused so much consternation among the Americans left. I'm just going to read you my review of Sound of Freedom, which I posted earlier today. There's no need to cover the ground already covered by so many others, but I do want to make one significant point, especially regarding my expectations of a much darker telling of the story of child trafficking after having been exposed to the mainstream media's reactions. Primarily, I feel the filmmakers were far more restrained in the accounting of Tim Ballard's story than I would have preferred. They could have gone much deeper and darker into the world of child trafficking without even coming close to the hyperbolic conspiratorial narrative of the film being so-called referred as QAnon adjacent. This film didn't even mention adrenochrome. This film avoided the actually ever more harsh realities of what these children are exposed to. During my own limited investigations into child trafficking last year, I learned of the unspeakable horrors to which these children are immediately treated, which alters their psyches out of the innocence of childhood into a depth of unimaginable fear that actually causes them to accept their fates and comply to their new masters, abusers, and rapists. A psychological rewiring, as it were, that prevents them from ever even considering attempting escape or even reaching out for help. That's not a criticism of the decision by the filmmakers to make this movie more accessible to the greatest number of people possible and expand awareness of this most evil aspect of humanity. My point is this. There is no justification for the likes of Rolling Stone, The Guardian, Washington Post, and all the others to have attacked this film in the manner they have. Every aspect of Sound of Freedom's based-on story was done so without coloring outside the lines of the truth and the realities of the human trafficking industry, and they could have gone much further without earning the criticisms made. Nothing in this film deserves those criticisms of or the connections to Jim Caviezel's Christianity or his alleged conspiratorial connections. That, of course, begs then the question as to why Caviezel, Ballard, Angel Studios, and director Alejandro Monteverde have been thusly attacked. What is it about this film that causes the left to recoil from such an elementary account of the reality of child sex trafficking? Now, I'm not willing to answer that question by saying the media antagonists are all pedophiles. I'm not even willing to say that they might have sympathies with the idea of human slavery or that they might quietly believe in fostering societal acceptance of adult child sexual interactions, but they are most definitely afraid of something. Something that widespread knowledge of or adverse public reaction to caused by this film's narrative might elicit within the population at large. As such, the mainstream media coverage of Sound of Freedom is a purposeful lie, pure disinformation. The purpose for which, well, you can come to your own conclusions. For years, I have taught my own children that when such questions don't have easy or rational answers, they must consider the possibility of one thing: spiritual darkness. In the end, that is the only explanation for the very existence of child trafficking. Sure, one could say, follow the money, which the movie explains quite well. A $150 billion per year industry with a product that can be sold over and over again, 10 to 15 times a day for years on end. But for the individuals involved in that supply chain, it requires the kind of searing of the soul that can only come from a far darker power. Last September, a man that I was working with in Texas on a child trafficking case and who has also committed his life to rescuing these victims, he told me that he has seen every movie and read every book on the subject of human trafficking. He told me the real story has yet to be told. He even asked me if I'd be willing to tell that story for him. If I am eventually led in that direction, I'm more than willing to add my voice to those who made Sound of Freedom. So, go see the movie. I promise you can handle this one. But a telling of the entire truth will require a much stronger personal constitution to endure. And neither QAnon nor adrenochrome conspiracies are required if that story is told. Okay, that's it for today. Please consider joining my locals community where I share content I do not put out anywhere else. It is free to subscribe, but for as little as $5 per month, you can get more content and you can also help me in my continued investigations into government weaponization and also the ongoing revelations about what happened on January 6th. Simply go to tpc4usa.com. TPC, the number 4usa.com, or from your app store, download the locals app and then search for at TPC4USA. Thanks a bunch, and I will see you again tomorrow with another 5 and 10.